Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, February 27th, 2017. With me today, Brian Chaffin. How goes it, Brian?
Hi, I'm a friendly fella.
You are a friendly fella. Very friendly.
Uh-huh.
John Martellaro, how are you?
Hi, I am good too. I'm a friendly guy.
Yes, you are. And in a completely different way from Brian's mildly disturbing friendly fellow.
Would you like me to sing my song, Jeff?
You know what? I'm putting you on the spot. I want you to sing the song, please.
Oh, I'm a friendly little fella. Folks all know me far and wide. I stand out my window and I shout out, hi! The neighbors, they all run and hide. I've got a friendly little greeting. It explains the kind of guy I am. Hi, I'm a friendly fella. Hi, hi. Oh, I am the friendly little man. I am the friendly little man.
My Vulcan mind just went into shutdown.
You know, I'm thinking I could just end the show right now if I wanted to, and we wouldn't be able to top that.
I'm thinking you should just edit it out. I'm thinking everybody would appreciate that.
Yeah, well, just like on ACM, when we edit everything out, it's going to be handled with the same quality.
Oh, excellent. Same interns, huh?
Same interns.
Oh, no. Yep. All right, well.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Elgato.
We did.
we did, yeah. And anyhow, so assuming they're still our sponsor after that, I'll be talking about their Eve HomeKit compatible light switch in a bit. But on Friday, we had a topic that I really wanted to hit and we didn't. And I think that it's totally worth doing it today. John, you wrote up an article where you explained the reasons why Apple should kill the Mac Pro, discontinue the Mac Pro completely.
Oh, baller.
Well, let me put it into context.
I got to warm up. Hold on a second, John. Wait. Balder. Balderdash.
Before you balderdashize this, just let me set this up. So I am talking to you on a Mac Pro. 2013 Mac Pro. I love my Mac Pro. I think it's the coolest computer Apple's ever made. I think Apple should continue the line. There's all sorts of reasons for it. But when I wrote about the subject, one of my readers responded and said, you know, I can't think of a good reason to kill the Mac Pro. I can think of really, really, really a lot of reasons why Apple shouldn't, and we all talk about that. We've been talking about it for years. But I tried to get my head inside Apple for fun. And just put my Apple hat on, and I thought, well, what would Apple possibly be thinking? And so I started for the fun of it and to maybe help the readers get some perspective. I started making a list of why Apple might want to discontinue the Mac Pro. And it came up with 7 reasons. And so that was the basis of the article. It was like trying to think like Apple and explain why they might want to discontinue it, just for educational purposes. And at the end of the article I wrote, you know, there's lots of good reasons to keep the Mac Pro, but that's another article. So
all right.
That's where that came from.
So why do you say, or what reasons do you give for Apple to cancel the Mac Pro?
Well, number one, rethinking the Mac Pro would be a bit painful, I think, considering that the MacBook Pro just came out with 4 USB-C ports. So Apple would have to sort of take a step backwards and say, well, we're going to cater to the creative and technical professionals. What do they really need? We'll have to stop and think about what our customers want and what they need, and probably not 6 USB-C ports.
No, they need expansion ports. They need multiple CPUs. They need higher end graphics.
Yeah, yeah. So they would have to go technically backward a bit. You know, they moved from the Cheese Grater Mac Pro, which was a powerhouse and had four drive bays and a lot of slots, and it was just cool. And then they went into this small beauty. Now they'd have to sort of take an embarrassing step backwards. And Apple doesn't.
How is taking care of your customers' actual needs is taking a step backwards?
Because it wouldn't be beautiful and designed beautifully and be really cool. And, you know, Apple tells you what you need. And I said somewhere in the article that the technical and creative professionals being told what they need isn't very cool.
It also doesn't change what they need. It doesn't change reality. A is A.
Apple hardly ever goes backwards, though. You know, they just...
Would it be going backwards, or would it be adding features into the Mac Pro that users need?
Well, I think Apple should and could very well come out with a glorious new Mac Pro that checks all the boxes and has the right ports and has the right expandability and does everything right, and say publicly, well, you know, the Mac Pro from 2013 was a... It was an experiment. It didn't go well. We've got something a lot better now.
They would never say it didn't go well.
I know. And so that was reason number one. In short, it's kind of an embarrassment. Two, Apple seems to have lost interest in the technical professionals, doesn't see it as a really big, lucrative market. I mean, all the technical professionals who love Unix and love the Mac Pros and over the years have used high-end desktop Macs for CAD and engineering and science and visualization and biology research and advanced computation and engineering design and code development and computer science. That's a small, geeky part of Apple's market. Clearly, they're focused on the consumer. So that was reason number two. And other companies that are taking up the slack are doing so enthusiastically, but even they will admit that it's not a big part of their market. I mean, the incremental gains from Apple.
All right. And I will quibble with you just a little bit, because while I think Apple is seeing a lot of their market as consumer level, I don't think that they are completely abandoning the Pro market, because the MacBook Pro, even though there are some people that say, oh, there's no way that's a Pro machine, mm-hmm. it is a Pro machine, and it's targeting Pro users. It may not be the same Pro users Apple targeted before.
Yeah, Apple gets to define what they consider Pro and then throw away the rest. The other thing is that Apple likes to create products that you desire just by looking at them. They don't like to go into technical detail. They don't publish a lot of specifications. It's like pulling teeth to find out which version of the i7 is in your computer. Technical professionals, you know, they like to know all the technical details, and they like to be catered to. They like to be able to understand how their machine is going to work within their technical environment.
Creative professionals do not care about that. They care about getting their job done.
The technical professionals. Yeah,
creative professionals don't. And creative professionals have been the core of the Mac Pro market for decades now. They want a machine where they can get their job done. They're not geeks like we're geeks. They don't care about how the machine works. They care about getting work done.
Oh, we all do. That's why we're using Macs. But I've seen other vendors. I've got an HP Z2 Mini sitting on my desk, and they're very careful to articulate in detail what their specs are. And that machine is geared towards creative professionals that'll drive 6 HD displays or 4 4K displays, and it's designed for CAD and now, those other creators.
Keep in mind, John, they are focusing on technical details, but they're coming from a market where that's just what you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So their focus on technical details, to me, is more a byproduct of their culture than than a byproduct of what the creative professional wants to know.
Right. So number four, return on investment.
Hold on. I'm going to leave everyone hanging for a minute.
Oh.
We'll get to number four in a second. But first, I want to talk about our sponsor. And our sponsor is Elgato and Elgato's Eve light switch. Now, when I found out Elgato was sponsoring the show, I got really excited. And that's because I am using several Eve products in my place right now. And what I love about their smart home products is that they offer me a higher level of security because they're not on my Wi-Fi network. Once they're connected up and they're easy to connect, they just work and do their things. And I love that they integrate so perfectly with HomeKit because that's what they're supposed to do. They're HomeKit-specific smart home accessories. And the Eve light switch is one of those products that I'm just so glad it came along. And the reason being is because I have various lights in my place, and I have refused to put the various smart home switches in because so many of the products that I've looked at are dependent on my network working all the time. And I need a fail-safe because if something goes wrong, and we're still early enough in the smart home world that there are times where you just simply have to shut something off and turn it back on to get it to work right. And I can do that right now because I have all these regular light switches that I've put little covers on so no one messes with them. But I don't have to deal with that with the Eve light switch. So it controls the lights just like you would expect any other smart home switch to do. And since it's over your HomeKit network, you can control it through your iPhone. You can control it remotely. And it just works. And if something goes wrong with your network and your devices just aren't talking correctly anymore, or you have someone that just can't wrap their head around smart home stuff, they can use the light switch and it works and it doesn't mess up anything you have going on. It's the switch is in many ways like a godsend because I've had far too many times where someone has turned off one of my smart lights because that's what we do. If we've been trained all our lives, you flip a switch and turn off the light. With the Eve light switch, not a problem. They can go ahead and do that. Your smart light continues to work just as it should. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And what Elgato wants is for you to be able to try one of these out at a discount. So what you need to do is go to the special link that they've set up for us, and that's elgato.com/TDO. And you can check out the Eve light switch there. And then when you buy the switch through them, you're going to get a 10% discount. And I thought that was pretty nice of them to do that for us. So that link is elgato.com/TDO. And you'll get 10% off one of the switches. And you also need to make sure you choose FedEx Ground Home Delivery, because when you do that, they're going to give you free shipping. But you have to choose FedEx Ground Home Delivery to get your free shipping. There's going to be a field where you put in a discount code, and that discount code, I know, totally big surprise, TDO. So the link you need to go to is elgato.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Pick FedEx Ground Home Delivery, and you're going to get your Elgato Eve light switch, HomeKit compatible, delivered to you 10% off and no shipping. So thank you to Elgato and their Eve light switch for being our sponsor today. Okay, John, you were at number four.
Four was ROI, return on investment. So I've seen estimates that led me to believe that about 1% of the Mac sales per year are the Mac Pro. So 20 million, 1% would be 200,000. This is not a lot of computers. And yet Apple has to maintain the factory and the people, and they're still selling it and supporting it. Apple has to ask itself, in my mind, is this a profitable, lucrative route to go? Now, of course, they designed a computer that appealed to a small fraction of people, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
No, what's self-fulfilling is the fact that it hasn't been updated in 3 years and 8 months.
All right.
Right?
Right. You know, well, I didn't even get
it. That one weird trick that Apple can do to increase sales, which is release a new frickin' Mac.
Well, that's yeah, I know. I agree completely, but that's not part of getting inside Apple's mind about why they might defeat it, why they might kill it. That's an explanation of what Apple should have been doing all along to keep it alive. Apple's heart doesn't seem to be in it. They don't seem to be making a lot of money. And when that happens, we kind of see the handwriting on the wall. Apple says, time to move on.
Yeah, the ROI argument, I'm with you on this one. And Brian, at the same time, I'm totally riding the fence. If Apple had actually given people a Mac Pro that was useful to a larger audience and updated it maybe every now and then, I don't think we'd be in this situation. But if Apple is making a device where they are just simply not going to make money on it, then they stop making it.
Yeah, well, this is where the halo effect comes in. This is where all that the billions in free advertising and product placement that Apple gets from TV and movies comes in. This is where the halo effect that Apple gets from musicians and producers using Macs in the studio comes in. Right? I mean, there's a lot of things that Apple gets out of the Mac Pro and out of servicing the Pro market that can't be measured in sales, and it's that stuff is going to go away.
Now, and I'm tossing this out because I'm curious if anyone has numbers, because I know I certainly don't. Is Apple getting more bang for its halo buck through the iPhone and the MacBook Pro than it is from the Mac Pro?
If you look at if you look at what's going on in the Mac Pro forums, John Key likes to hang out there, and he and I were recently discussing this. You've got people who are abandoning the Mac Pro, according to what they're saying in the forums, and then they're also saying, "And we're chucking the rest of the Apple ecosystem along with it."
And that's a real problem.
So it goes two ways, I am sure.
I'm sure. Yeah,
that's a argument is the strongest argument, I think, for having a continuation of the Mac Pro.
Yeah, I agree. It's the only argument. It's the only argument.
It says we know how to make the best computers in the world. We can go toe to toe with anyone. We're not just a phone company.
But you know, I can also quibble on the profitability standpoint. If Apple can't make money with its design, that's the problem is with the design. I mean, HP certainly thinks that it can make money, right? These other companies that are targeting Apple's pro market because Apple is abandoning and treating this pro market so poorly, they think they can make money on it. Now, of course, they could be wrong, but you know, I mean, the pursuing form over function and then blaming that for a lack of sales or lack of profitability is putting the horse somewhere like on a different track with the cart.
They can do that now because we're no longer subjected to the cruelty of Windows 8. Windows 10 is pretty cool. I've been playing with it for a couple of weeks now. My wife is a Windows user as well as a Mac user, so I'm always on the fringes of Mac and Windows. I have Windows 7 running as a virtual machine in Parallels. Need to get that updated to 10. So I've been watching and reading about and writing about Windows for years. And I'll tell you, Windows 10, from everything I've seen in my own use and everything I've read about, is a pretty darn respectable and pretty darn secure operating system in the same league as Mac OS. And so the big thing now is that you don't have to think about committing suicide to go over to the Windows side to get great hardware. Windows 10 and great hardware together are pretty compelling. And that, I think that's why those people in the forum are talking about chucking Apple, is because they've got a safe haven in Windows 10 now.
Safer haven, at the very least.
Well,
your mileage whatever. May vary.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's a big factor.
All right, so we're out of time. And yes, I know there's more reasons that you listed why Apple could consider killing the Mac Pro. So since we're out of time and we can't go into those, what I'll say instead is, listeners, go check out John's article. And if you have thoughts that you want to share, then please do. You can leave comments in the comment section for his article. You can leave comments in today's show notes. You can shoot me emails, observations@macobserver.com. And you can leave comments on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. I'm curious to hear what you guys think, if John is on base with his reasoning, or if he's totally missed the point.
Well, in attempted insights into Apple thinking, I would say.
Yeah, we none of us, including very unfriendly me, should not mistake this as you endorsing this thought process.
Absolutely. That's correct. I said that at the end of the article. Right. But there are many reasons to keep the Mac Pro, and there are probably many more. This was just an attempt to provide some insight into how Apple may be thinking.
Yeah, 3 years and 8 months, man. This thing was introduced in June 3 years ago.
Still 3.5 years ago.
It hasn't changed. Still, price hasn't changed. Right? The same now gimpy GPUs are shipping in that thing. Just ridiculous, man. It's just ridiculous. Apple has all of the money, all of the resources, all of the resources.
Now, I'm just going to ask real quick, even though I know I'm going to make us run long by doing this, WWDC is coming up at the beginning of June. Do either of you think there's a possibility Apple would introduce a new Mac Pro there?
If we're going to see a new Mac Pro, it's going to be shown in WWDC.
John, what do you think?
I've grown accustomed to being disappointed by Apple at WWDC. I don't think it'll appear there because that's not in my mind.
The last one was introduced.
I know.
3.5 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That was an anomaly, I think.
It'll be 4 years. It'll be 4 years since it's introduced. But there's a reason why it happened at WWDC. It's because developers need this. You know, I mean, like, what is Apple going to use? This has been my big thing. This has been my big thing about people worried about the Mac. What is Apple going to use to design iPhones? Are they going to use Windows machines like animals? No. So, I mean, I don't know what they're saying. It is impossible to grok from the outside.
Yeah, Brian, what I'm hoping is that Chaffin's razor is in effect here, and there's a critical piece of information we're missing that would make all of this make sense.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be really nice.
Because Apple is behaving irrationally here.
Right. All right. Well, we're really out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here today.
Indeed.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Elgato, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head on over to their website, elgato.com/TDO. Check out the Eve HomeKit compatible smart light switch and use a discount code TDO when you order one from their website. You get 10% off. And don't forget to pick FedEx ground delivery so that you get free shipping. And let me know what you think of that light switch once you get it. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.